Happy Father's Day, everybody. Man, doesn't it just feel good today? Last week, I'm a sweater. Last week, I was really worried. Like, once it goes over 90, I'm like, if I'm going to be, like, preaching for, like, an hour and a half, I'm going to need 6 shirts. But then God moved the thing, and, like, we get this day that's beautiful today. And I want to invite you to do something real quick here. Before you start thinking about your own dad or who you are as a dad or who you might become as a dad, I want to get everybody on board. And so the first thing I want to do is invite you to close your eyes, whether you're older or middle or younger. Close your eyes just for a few minutes. You're safe in your chair. I want you to just feel the sun on your face. And if you're in the shade, I want you to feel the cool breeze. These two things that a good father provides on a day like this. Right now, if you're like me sitting in the sun with your eyes closed, you can feel the warmth of that sun. It feels just right. It's designed like 93 million miles away to provide and to protect us in just the right balance. And man, it feels warm. And even with my eyes closed, even with your eyes closed, you can even like still see where the sun is because the light gets brighter that way, even when our eyes are closed. And when we turn our face that way, even with our eyes closed, we can feel the warmth of the sun. And it feels good. Happy Father's Day. Not just to you who are dads, just to you who will be dads, just to you who maybe have been dads. But happy Father's Day, Lord, to you, our Father. So I thought, well, if we're going to start by calling God our Father, why not open it up with a prayer that unites us all in calling out to Him? So if you know it, I'd like to invite you to speak it with me. If you don't know it, let us speak it for you. So here we go. You know it. It's the prayer that Jesus taught us. And it starts out with the perfect Father's Day opening. Here we go. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Man, the sun feels good, doesn't it? It's warm and it's bright. And when we move into this place like this, not just physically with this ball of fire that God set in place, but when we move into a morning like this, when we move into the Father's presence, it does something to us. It offers things to us. It takes things from us. Our Father is what we're talking about today. Now, Father's Day, you know, moms, you know, take it easy today. This is mostly for dads, for Father's Day. But I know you had one too. So when we're talking today about fathers and how God is such a good father to us, and He's the model for our life as fathers, and sometimes Father's Day can create all sorts of goofiness in our lives. Some of you had or have excellent dads. That when you see them, you have a really good picture of who God is. Others of you have had a dad that this day is not so good about. Maybe like the best thing about Father's Day is we're going to go outside and have donut holes. But we all have a good Heavenly Father. So no matter what the father that we had, I want to just real quick. If you had to because the way we see our dad has a lot to do. A.W. Tozer says that the most important thought we have at any given time, minute, hour, day, month, year, the most important thing that would ever cross the mind that God has given us is what we actually think about God. And for some reason, I don't know why. What we think about our earthly father, our biological father, our adoptive father here has a lot to do with how we picture God. So I thought, here's a good exercise to get us going, get us thinking about our Father in heaven and our Father here biologically or adoptively. If you could just pick one word to describe your dad, what would it be? Just one word to describe your dad, what would it be? Some of you have these like fun words like awesome, energetic, sports, amazing. I like that. One word. You got it. Some of you might have like my dad or his dad. He probably would have, if he were here today, he'd probably be saying something like absent, left. That's two words, but he probably didn't need many words to have that feeling come alive in him. And I suppose for my dad, that shaped how the beginning years and the adolescent and the teen and in the 20s and the 30s of his life felt about God. I was thinking, like, what word would I pick to describe my dad? He's been dead for 6 years. We had this like great athletic life together, this great, like, he used to like get us, me and my two brothers, in the living room floor, and we broke some furniture. We put a lot of shoe marks across the hallway walls, throwing each other around, my dad. We had push-up contests together. He hated being tickled, and man, did we love to tickle him because of that. And somehow, across all these experiences, he died when I was 45 years old. You know what the word is for me? A guy who was a Marine and, like, you know, liked to get up at 5 o'clock every morning and have everything regimented through the day and somehow had time to do everything and be around us kids. And he was this really good picture of faithfulness to a wife. He had a way of teaching. He didn't really talk much, but he had a way of showing that, you know, well, he probably didn't even think he ever did anything wrong, but every now and then we had these pictures of him coming back to my mom somehow after an argument or something. And I, as a young kid, I can't articulate what the conversation was, but sometimes we don't have to hear a dad to know what he's saying. So all we have to do is watch. Because as kids, and even as like 50-year-old kids, we watch and we learn about who people are. You know what the word is? It's caring. He cared about us. It was a really good picture of who God is that we got to grow up in. People talk about having living these blessed lives, and it's probably some people look around and say, Volker, you know, you've had this easy thing, and it's like, oh, yeah, I think I did, and I don't know why I didn't ask for it, I didn't deserve it, I got to grow up in it. And my dad created this blanket of caring around his life. Not just about us, but, you know, it went beyond just, you know, wrestlers and football players that me and my brothers were. It got out into the neighborhoods, and it got to his friends at work. But mostly the picture I have of the caring was around my mom. Somehow, you know, be as a kid in there watching cartoons on a Saturday, and your dad drifts into the kitchen, and my mom was cleaning it up. They kind of had the traditional, old school traditional roles that way, and were real happy in it. And it'd be this conversation going down. I couldn't see a thing, but what I saw was love happening. And it was about my mom and him. And it was about her and my dad. And he was showing me what fatherhood looked like. To love the woman that he created these kids with. In the best of times and in the hardest of times. Really good growing up. Thank you, Lord, for the warmth that you created through my dad. Sometimes that's like, you know, so joyous and so joy-filled in my life. that it's sometimes hard to speak. Sometimes I think it might be as hard to speak it the other way for friends of mine who didn't have that, whose dads were like living in the same house, but maybe not ever there. And we grow up with these different pictures and these different realities of who our dad is, and it shapes how we see God. Can you feel that warmth of God, our Father's light in your life? Sometimes the heat of a father's love can get a little hot, can it? And like the breeze just comes right along with it, and it just provides this excellent balance of power and purpose and provision and comfort and safety. It's a picture of who God is. 1 John, this first scripture we have for the day, says, see what, we say it at baptism, I like to say it afterward, after we have a baptism of a kid or an adult who's still a kid of God. We say this stuff, and sometimes it sounds like we're making it up on the fly, but it's scripture that a dad and a fatherhood, and now a father of a community as a pastor, is like we hide this stuff in our heart. Because it's real to us, because it's steeped in the fatherhood of God. See what great love the Father has for us, that He would call us children of God. It's one of the greatest promises in the Bible. It's one of the greatest promises that's ever been spoken and breathed by God Himself. See what great love the Father has for us, that He would call us children of God. And that is what we are. Another version says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us. Did your dad ever lavish anything on you that was so awesome and great? Ours came in things like, hey, you want to join boxing or wrestling? And it's like, I'm not joining boxing. You get hit in the face. So we joined wrestling. He lavished His love on us. And it's one of the ways that He used sports as we can. All of us use it, right? In its best light to teach our youngest of the youngest kids that we have, and sometimes even our neighbor's kid whose dad might not be there, or you got a single mom raising a kid and you find a way to check the neighborhood around you, to get wider with the way we're fathers, not just to our own kids, but we become fathers to the community, fathers of the fatherless, fathers of the orphans in our community. Old school, we think, you know, orphans, like over in Russia where there's like all these kids in an orphanage. In America, in the abundance we have, all of our orphans are in like great homes, like in our communities. And we get this wonderful opportunity to expand. You know, I got three girls. Grew up with all boys, and then God played this trick on me. He said, I want to show you something. You think that's easy, right? And He gave us like three girls, Casey, Gail, and Grace, and it's been great, but it's like I went from majority to ultimate minority at home. And I didn't get to like put the lid up anymore, and I had to learn a whole new way to live and things like that. And it's like, glad they're finally gone now. I can put the lid down. Man, it's tough raising girls as a dad. They didn't like want to play football or wrestle. Well, Gail did, but, you know. They didn't want to play football or wrestle, but they wanted to play volleyball, and I didn't know anything about it, and it like unseated me. I didn't really know anything about track, and I didn't know anything about dolls, and I didn't know anything about like curling hair and like a straightener of hair. Why? Really? I didn't know any of that stuff. And then I didn't know like how a girl's heart can get broken by like a seventh grade boy. I didn't know any of that stuff. And I was like walking in a place that I had no idea what I was doing. And I was thinking I was doing excellent at it. I think I got a text from Casey this morning. I didn't plan on sharing this, but I'm gonna give it to you. She sent me a text this morning. Oldest daughter. Happy Father's Day, Dad, for being a great leader for our family. Can I get some more breeze? Saw these three things and some other people that she gets teaching from. You know, because sometimes I think I'm her only father. And she and Corey moved to Chicago a few years ago and started going to Willow Creek. And it's like, oh, thank you, Lord, for being faithful to my daughter to continue to grow the seeds of faith that I got to walk with you with and plant in her and water, pull weeds out around them. You know, like the boys that came around pulled a lot of weeds. I can do it. I'm good at it. Thank you, Lord. That's what you get when you get three daughters as a dad. Got to Chicago and she hooks on to other fatherhood. And a guy named Steve Carter, who's another pastor at a different church. And she says, I saw these three things this morning. And I think you and Mom have done a great job of making us feel loved. Thank you. You're special in making us feel like we belong. Tough. But we don't do it alone. We don't do it alone. And dads, when in fatherhood, and you know, how do I handle my own three girls? And it's not been a world of mine. And here you go, be excellent at it, and get it right, and get it wrong. And it's like you get underwater sometimes, and then you get above water, you know. And I'm not going to share any of the stories because sometimes they're too intimate. Sometimes it's just time as a dad to connect, to close your eyes in the morning. Dads, fathers, spiritual fathers. Sometimes it's just time in the morning to be still, to close your eyes and ascend heavenward into God's presence. Whether you've got it right or whether you got it wrong, to ascend heavenward in God's presence, to let Him remind you that, well, the great love that He has for you as a dad, that He would call you first before you ever get to fatherhood. For dads, that He would call you a son, a child of His own, that He created in your mother's womb, back in the Psalms, right? These promises that He knit you together in your mother's womb. That even as an 8-pound baby, a 9-pound baby, a 1-year-old boy, a 4-year-old boy, a 6-year-old boy, a 10-year-old boy being knit together now outside the womb, being spoken to and shown these experiences that you've seen sometimes with your eyes open and sometimes with your eyes closed, getting some things right and some things wrong, of God raising you up to be a father. Whether you have any biological kids or not, it's not what fatherhood is all about. As great as having three daughters of my own, fatherhood for me that God has given me, that I believe He's given all of you men here, is much bigger than our own kids. And sometimes it can seem daunting. But we never do it alone. No great thing has ever been meant to do alone. This last week, you know, one of my favorite sports, basketball, whatever. NBA goes down, it's the finals. My cousins and uncle are here from California, and they love the California teams. And, well, Kevin Durant is part of this Golden State team that won the NBA title, and he's in this press conference afterward. Just done something phenomenally great with other men. Had been shaped probably since youth sports by what this sport is, what winning is all about. And in a press conference that followed, here's what he says is the most important thing.
Can I sit this right here?
Sure. Whatever you want.
Appreciate it.
Oh. But what about the people behind the scenes, your mom and dad, Rich, yeah. Tom? How much do those people help you get through these seasons?
just the, like I said, just the encouragement every single day, you know, just the belief that I can do whatever I want in life, not just basketball, everything.
What was the toughest challenge?
The toughest challenge was to come in here and see how I can help Steph get better, how I can help Clay get better, Draymond, Sean Livingston, Andre Iguodala, JaVale McGee, the whole team, just see how I can help them get better. That was more important to me than anything.
Everything you just described, how much does that make all that hardware you've got a little bit richer?
It feels so great because, like I said, it's a team sport, man. You got to want to sacrifice. You got to want to put your teammates in front of yourself sometimes, and I just tried to do that. And but also be aggressive, you know. Dre told me all the time, man, it's your time. Go take it. It's about you. But I'm like, nah, it's about us.
It's always about us. Kevin says it on his NBA title. It was always about us going in there and seeing how he could contribute and how he could lift it up. Don't switch the slide, but see what great love the Father has for us, that he would call us children of God. And then this is all this provision. It's this comfort. It's this giving. It's this outward expression of who he was, of what he brought to Golden State. Not just himself as an individual to win the title, because he couldn't have done it. I think back to like raising up three young girls, now in low 20s. One of them's got two kids, and I think there's more coming. Just a prediction. I'm hoping. Sometimes I close my eyes in the morning when sometimes that stuff gets overwhelming to me. Things I can control is like, you think having little kids is tough? Wait till they get 20. And life happens. And it's like beyond what a dad can like control and do and shape, and the size of the bicep and the tricep doesn't really matter anymore. But the size of the heart matters most. And where do we turn as dads? It's just like, I can't look at that right now. I need to close my eyes and look heavenward and be reminded of me how great the Father's love is for me. It reminds me first that he loves me, and it reminds me most that my fatherhood to my kids, to the community around, my fatherhood is only found in his. And without the connection, I do all kinds of crazy stuff. We never do it alone. One of the best stories in God's word is this story of Abraham. When Abraham and his wife were trying to have a kid, and they'd been struggling. They, you know, if there were things back then, like a fertility clinic, they would have exhausted it. Probably went into, you know, taking maybe some loans against their house to try to have a kid they wanted to so bad. And God comes along to him and says, you're going to have a kid. As a matter of fact, you're going to have so many kids, and it's not just going to stop with the ones in your house, but I'm going to create my fatherhood through you to the world. And you're going to learn how to see the kids across the street and in the other communities and maybe even downtown. And you're going to connect and volunteer and give your life the way that I give mine to you, to kids who would never even know how to dream, let alone get a new pair of shoes every season. They don't even know how to dream or think about something better because they had never seen this vision of a father that pointed them in the direction of who God the Father is. God tells Abraham, I'm going to make your descendants so numerous. They'll be beyond the number of stars in the sky, beyond the number of grains of sand in the ocean. So numerous. That's you and that's me, sons and daughters of Abraham. That God breathed into Abraham and Sarah and created this child that he brought his life into. Abraham didn't do it alone. He closed his eyes often and connected with the Heavenly Father, asking him, what's going on here? I feel like I don't know what I'm doing. But without it, I wonder where I might be if Abraham had not been faithful to connect with the Heavenly Father, to find his own fatherhood to the nations. Where might I be? We don't do it alone. These blueprints, these models of that Scripture gives us about fatherhood, about who God is and how we can look at each other and what God is doing in us as dads and fathers. These models can be extremely helpful to us. How did these people connect with the Heavenly Father? What did prayer look like in their life? What did having a small group of trusted Christian friends to be in counsel with several days a week about who we are and what we're doing and what God is doing in us? Well, these models matter. This is one of the models. The architects just built it, picked it up Friday, of the new building that we're going to build about a quarter mile that way. Construction starting in the fall. It's pretty exciting. The model starts to let it, and the physical model's right back there by the coffee and donuts, if you want to look at it afterward. Models are important for us to look at as dads. We love that. For like a year now, the architects have been designing this new building, and it's a lot of, you know, for me, it's like a lot of words, it's a lot of meetings, it's a lot of talking, it's a lot of sitting around, and I'm like, can't you just, you know, I love it on paper, but can you like get some structure on it so I can start actually seeing how I'm going to walk in the front door? And like if you lean down on that model back there afterward, and I want to encourage you to go look at it. If you lean down it, they made windows on it so you can look in the front and see what it's going to be like to be sitting there next June when we move into it is the plan, and what it's going to be like to be sitting in there in a worship service. And you can see those things, and you can see like the lake and the pond that's going to be out in front and how big it is. And I'm like, they put like these little trees on there, right? And I'm thinking, where's those little fish? You know, let's put some of those in there so I can start seeing that and imagining that. Because when we think that way and what our heart and our mind is set on, whether it's a model, we learn how to walk in it. We learn the questions to start asking God about what He'll do in and through us in this place. Not just to come in and worship Him, which is a prime function of the family of God. But how is it we'll be moms in this place to our own kids and to the kids in the community? How is it that we'll be dads in this place? How are we going to learn how to use the resource that God is bringing up underneath us that we get to walk in and like the microphone just works and we get to move ahead and tell people how much God loves them? See what great love the Father has for us, that He would call us children of God. Maybe we'll teach kids how to hide God's word in their heart with some memory scripture and have Fun and Hope Kids with music that inspires them. And maybe we'll like serve donuts and coffee and food to the community around us. And maybe we'll bring, well, everything that we have and connect with God and say, who will you have us be to this world that you love so much? Oh man, that's hard stuff. In Ephesians 6:4, Paul's writing this letter to the church, and he's telling them about this sacrifice that God has made with His Son to clear the way for anything that had ever been done wrong, to anything that was being done that was wrong, and to anything that ever would be done that was wrong, that He sent His Son because He has purpose and provision, that He sent His Son to die, and they hung Him up and nailed Him to a cross, just like that one right there. And through that process, somehow in the mystery, the awesomeness of God, this glorious exchange happens. That the guilt and the sin and the hurt and the brokenness that, well, is in all of our lives, that without it, without God's plan, without this Father that can provide and protect, without this Father who has soft hands and touches in the right way, well, be tough, hopeless. But Paul writes this letter to the Ephesians to remind them, and he reminds us that that is not at all the reality we live in. Fathers, don't exasperate your children by coming down hard on them, just in the way God doesn't do it to us. Instead, take them by the hand and lead them in the way of the Heavenly Father. Let me give you my life as Father, and then you be Father. Oh, it's a tough thing, isn't it? Cheryl and I just said basically goodbye to all three kids. Grace got married last week, and it was this like, I melted in the service for about 15 minutes, and then I finally caught a little traction. I got to lead the service. You think this is tough? Try sharing the message and doing the ceremony for your kids in a wedding. Whew. More breeze. Man, it was good, though. We just got I just got done raising three girls. From the time they came out of Cheryl's body to the time now they're like, the birds are flying away. But this weird thing comes with them. And it's like, don't exasperate your children. Don't come hard down on them. Take them by the hand. Lead them in the way of the master. It's been like years and years since I've been around young men in this way. Our family just expanded by three 20-year-old males. You kidding me? I'm working out again. It's going to be hard and it's going to be difficult. I feel like I'm right back in that place of not having any kids to three girls that I knew nothing about. And now at 51, I thought it was like smooth sailing when you hit 50. Here come three men in my daughter's lives to kick me out. I'm looking around. I'm waiting to be called up on deck. There's no takers. Darn. Don't exasperate them. Take them by the hand. And I'm looking forward to it. It's not easy to let your kids go. I'm wondering what kind of fathers, Will is already one to two grandsons. I'm wondering what kind of father he'll be. Some things I'm really happy with. Some things that he does with the two boys make me feel like I'm standing in the sun and it's warm and I can see God's fatherhood living in him. And it matters to me. And I know it matters to you. Because there's two more boys now at stake. And their lives matter to the God who created them. And to us. And it matters to our families and our kids. And sometimes I look at him and it's like, oh, I can't look at you right now. I have to go over here and first be reminded of how much God loves me. So that I use power with God's purpose, and so that I use caring with God's purpose and his provision. Because my call is to take him by the hand and lead him in the way of the master. Fatherhood, not easy, but always deeply meaningful. Never something I want looking to get out of. Never like camouflaging myself for the other purpose underneath it. Well, sometimes I do that, but I try not to. Learning to love as a father again. Now God expanding in my own life. And it's just my example, but I know he's doing it in you, Dan. I know he's doing it in you, Barry, Aaron, Justin, Charlie, Brian, Shane. I know he's doing it to you too. He's showing you that you have more kids than just the biological ones that you created with your wife. And man, it just gets so hard. And yet God's saying, you're my A game. You're my A plan. You're my Abraham. I'm going to expand my kingdom through you. We're going to do it together, and I know you won't know the way, but I want you to take them by the hand, and I want you to lead them in the way of the master, and I want you to do it in youth sports. And don't just teach them techniques. Teach them about who I am, God says. And if you can't speak it, I want you to live in a way. You don't need to say a word to them, but they see it in your life. That they know that you close your eyes somehow every morning and every noon and whenever you need it. And you let God's warmth remind you first of how much He loves you. It's fatherhood. And then God says, now, go take them by the hand and lead them in my way, that they might know my love, that they might know forgiveness, and they might know caring and know my soft hands, that they might know grace to be able to pick up and do it again. These opportunities are being made new every day because they see it in you and they see it in us, because we are a primary picture of who they see God to be. We have to stay connected if we're going to lead them by the hand. I remember when I was a young kid, how natural it was to like grab onto my dad physically. Like, you know, just like Milo, my grandson, sitting over here. I'm trying to get ready for the sermon, and he's like over there, like, you know, throwing his arms around me, trying to grab this microphone and like get up on my lap, and I'm trying to get him over on the chair because, you know, I've got things to do. There are people waiting here, and God's put me in this place. You know, we can do this, right? God's put me in this place, and I've got a plan, and I've got a schedule, and you know, somehow I'm feeling up here like I'm responsible to make sure those brats are done in about 15 minutes, and I'm feeling, I'm deep down inside, I'm like, how can I do this and go back there and do that, right? Because I have this thing that lives in me that God gives, and it's this thing called power and purpose, and I'm trying to figure out how to balance it and cut it apart and do it in the way that He does it. And like, sometimes my mind's on that, no wonder I'm talking about it. The brats, maybe I'm hungry. There's something very natural about a young kid, our children, coming to us and grabbing on. Some people, I call it grabbing on. Some people call it hugging. Hugging, wrapping, coming into this close physical contact. And it's like, if that wasn't good for you with the dad as a kid, please don't project that up to the Heavenly Father. If it was good for you as a kid, pass that on. Take kids by the hand and lead them in the way of the Master, the way that God does us. It's really natural to grab on. Because what happens to us when we naturally grab onto the Heavenly Father? Not a lot of words always need to be spoken. I don't think I said anything to Milo over there. But I held him for 3 worship songs. I was holding him on this side. He wanted this side. And I'm like, my right's got a little more beef to it. But he wanted to be over here. So it adjusted my life, and it cost me a little more in energy. And I got a little cramp right there. And it like took me off my game plan. And it's like, how long do you want to stay? God provides. Go ahead, next slide. It's God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's this truth that comes out of this Gospel of Luke. It is God's good pleasure to give you His kingdom. It's what He calls us to do in fatherhood, to give it all away. And there's lots of different versions of the scripture. I picked this one because it describes His will, or it makes God happy to give His kingdom to you. But I picked this one with this good pleasure because I think it, like, for this message, it captures the heart of God so well. It's God's good pleasure to give you His kingdom. Like, He's like giving it away, and He's like, sweet, I love it. Growing this young person, this middle-aged person, this old person. Even old persons are like growing into fatherhood. Just because their kids have moved away and all, they're still growing in fatherhood because God's got a plan to affect His life, to take young people by the hand and lead them in the way of the Master. It's all of us. We're never done with that. Nor do we want to. Because like God, it becomes our good pleasure to give our life to our own kids and to the kids of the community. This is when we turn from dads into fathers. This is when we turn from ordinary men into extraordinary people of God. Is when God captures our heart and we start to really understand, and sometimes it takes 50 years, and sometimes 60, or sometimes 20 years for us to really buy it, that God gives it. There's no qualification. There's no earning. There's no cost to you or to me. It's all been paid for by Jesus. And it's God's good pleasure. It fills his life richly. I think sometimes if he were here talking, it might be like when he sees his kingdom being handed off to people, the sovereign nature of what he influences through things like love. When he sees a dad turn into a spiritual father because of love, I wonder if he was telling the story, if it might shut him up just a little bit, because the emotion runs so deep in his life. It's God's good pleasure to give you his kingdom. Everything, including his life. It runs intergenerationally. The last little clip I want to share with you, like, I'm trying to honor my dad today. We grew up at St. Peter's when it was still down at where a Harvest Bible Chapel is, and like, he never missed church, ever, and then so did neither of us three boys, although we tried. He never missed, but he loved short sermons, so I'm trying to honor him today. So I want to close, get ready to close here with this clip that does this look at fatherhood, how we're shaped by it, the importance of it, and how God affects us through it. And if you're a dad, I want you to watch and see what this guy sees at the end of the clip. Take a look. You know, dads, there's no more visually powerful thing that you could ever show a kid than to let them see you kneeling in prayer, absorbing the warmth and the heat of your Heavenly Father. These pictures of what our dads show us and the pictures that He sets in us that we get this opportunity to show our kids, they're phenomenally powerful images of who our Heavenly Father is. They're phenomenally powerful images that can change things eternally for the young people and for all people in our community. So like it's Father's Day and it's men and there's like, okay, what's the call to action, Volker? Here's a call to action. Some of you might do it and some of you might not do it. What I'm presenting you is an opportunity to show the world something. To show the world that fatherhood of God can rise up within you in a picture that is phenomenal in Grimes, Iowa, right here. I've got a friend here he's a dad. He's a father. Come on, Jeff. And he's a spiritual father to the community. He's one of the people that God uses to shape me as a father through prayer and counsel. And sometimes he even smiles at me, tells me to take it easy. We got to get to the brats. But we're going to do one more thing, and then we're going to sing a song. Jeff's going to pray for us. But I thought, well, we can pray sitting in the seats, or we can risk it. And I know we're Lutheran, and it's like weird and all that sort of thing. But like, I don't think I'd be doing it. I don't think I'd be giving you what God called me here to do, to show the community today, if I didn't call you forward. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to say anything. Jeff's going to pray for us. It's what spiritual fathers do. But the visual image that you might reveal today to your wife or to your parent, a cousin, an aunt or a niece, people you know or don't know, is going to be phenomenal to point you in the community at the warmth of God's love. So I want to invite all the men to come forward, just like this says in Ephesians. It's because of God's great love for us. There is nothing else to do. There is no more prime shaping factor of fatherhood in our life than the position of prayer. Paul says that it's because of this. I don't even have to ask him. Come on, Megason. Come on, Will. Come on. It's because of this. There is no other response to the warmth and the love of God than to kneel. Paul says it to the church. He says it to us. And I want to invite every single one of you to join us in prayer. And then we're going to sing.
While you guys are coming, I want to tell you, I was in my kitchen several years ago when my oldest son, Noah, when he was still in the single digits. And I was in a hurry. I was going to work. I had my backpack all packed up, and I had to run in and grab a cup of coffee because I was going to be late, and I needed to run and get something done. And all the kids were buzzing in the kitchen, and people were getting off to school. And I came in, and my son Noah grabbed a hold of me. I'll never forget it. He tugged me so tight. And he wouldn't let go, and it kind of irritated me because I was in a hurry. I had to get to work, and I had to get my cup of coffee. So I did what good dads do, and I tried to expand my chest. In my case, it was my big tummy. I was trying to expand my tummy, create a little leverage. I tried to get my arms down there, and I'm like, Noah, come on. I got to get going. I got to get going, son. And he just wouldn't let go. And it went on for a long time, and I was going to be really late to go to work. And while he's sitting there holding on to me so tight, I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, I felt my father say to me, Jeff, I'm never going to let go of you first. I'm never going to let go of you first. And I put my book bag down. I pushed my coffee away. Got both arms free. And I just wrapped them around my son. Said, I love you so much. Oh, thank you, Papa, for being such a good dad to me. And thank you for teaching me how to be a good dad. Gentlemen, let's pray. Father God, we love you so much. You are a provider. Our identity comes from you, God. It's not in our jobs. It's not in our accomplishments. It's not in any of that. Papa, it's what you say we are. We trust you and we love you, God. You teach us to do all of the right things. So when that little plastic phone rings, God, you teach us to answer it. Papa, and we will. And when you want us to take more time being good dads and just basking in the love that you've given us with our children, we're going to do that, God. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come right now and just impart to all of these good dads, God, your affirmation that you are very, very, very pleased with them. Lord, we know that your word says that without faith it's impossible to please you, Papa, and you know that we're weak and we don't know what we're doing as dads. And so we get to reach out to you, God, and that makes you so happy. So we'll follow you, God. We'll follow you, and we'll pour into our children. We'll pour into our families, Lord. I just pray that you would encourage us, God, and I pray that even in our church family and in our community, God, you would encourage us in such a profound way, Lord, that this area, this church, would become a lighthouse of fatherhood for you, God. People would look to it to learn how to be good dads, and we would encourage each other. And you would just guide us and direct us day in and day out. And we just get to stand in the sunlight of your spirit as you radiate so brightly in all of our families, in the faces of our children. Lord, we love you. We love you. You're our best friend. You're our good guide. God, and as fathers ourselves, we lift up the cry of our heart, God, and we do ask you for your help, even in areas where we don't even know that we need your help, but you know it so intimately. You know everything that we need because you're the author of our life. You made us. We love you so much, and we lift up all of this in the precious name of Jesus. And all God's Father said, amen.